You can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 77. We're going to look tonight at the power of thankfulness. The power of giving thanks. I think it was kind of funny. It's hard to know how your own mind works and like whether you were really thinking of something else or how like what went into a decision exactly. But I was praying about what to teach on maybe like a week ago. And I had a few things, I wrote down like a handful of things that might be what I want to teach on, but then I just knew like thankfulness would be the right thing to teach on. And then later it occurred to me that Thanksgiving is coming up like next week. And so I didn't consciously intend for it to be a topical like holiday teaching, but it ended up that way, so. Praise God, I guess. In Psalm 77, we'll start in verse 11, but I want to just make the statement that there is no simpler way to enjoy God's power in your life than by giving thanks. And also that a thankful mind is a sober, sound mind. So keep those things in mind as we check these things out. But this is Psalm 77, verse 11, is some examples of being thankful to God. So, verse 11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So there's remembering what God has done, and then meditate is to think about it, to run through it in your mind again and again. And then talking about what God did, like socializing what he did, talking about it, discussing it, expressing thanks, expressing your thanks to God to other people, and encouraging them to be thankful too. I will talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. So all this stuff is like, God is really good. He's done good stuff, right? But then it gets more specific. God doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. So it's specific things. And it's very poetic, but it's also remembering like specific things. You know, the waters we're afraid. I'm not saying that that's specifically referring to the parting of the Red Sea, but that is a time where God spoke and the waters split open. So keeping in mind specific things that God has done when we're being thankful, it's easy to be generally thankful and be like, yeah, God's good, right? Thanks, God. But picking out specific things and remembering, like, I will remember thy works, like, deliberately remembering specific things God has done to be thankful is what God says to do. And we'll look at some benefits of doing that. We can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So that's toward the end of the Bible, 1 Thessalonians. If you get to Timothy, you're a little too far. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is pretty cool. So we'll get into the benefits of being thankful, but just before we do that, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says here, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's will concerning you, like God has something he wants for you, and what he wants for you is that you give thanks in everything. Does that mean every time your car breaks down, thank God that your car broke down?
No.
Or every time the coffee isn't ready on time, thank God that the coffee's not ready on time? It doesn't mean thank God for everything that ever happens. Not everything that happens is attributable to God. But in everything that you're experiencing in your life, in everything you see, in everything that happens, find something that you can thank God about. And it doesn't have to be, dang, I'm stuck in traffic again. Well, I'm really thankful that I'm stuck in traffic. It doesn't have to be related to the thing that is bothering you. You can go, well, thank God I have a car, or thank God that my family loves me. You can find anything else but something that you can thank God about. In everything that you're doing, be thankful to God. Give thanks. And that is a attitude, that's a mental habit that we can apply to everything in our life. And we can look at things through a filter of being thankful. Every time that you've got a thought that comes in, you can go, is that a thankful thought or not? And then you can do something about it deliberately. And God says, in everything, give thanks. Back up a little bit to Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. Philippians chapter 4. This is a classic verse, right? Philippians 4, 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. This is instruction on how to not be anxious, right? Things might bother you, and how to not let things bother you. Philippians 4, 6. It says, be careful or anxious for nothing. The end, right? Don't stop being anxious, right? That's all we need to know. No, be careful for nothing, but so when God tells us not to do something, most of the time, or maybe all the time, he's specific to tell us what to do instead. What maybe don't do this action, but do this action instead. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, in this verse, does God say, be anxious or be careful for nothing, but let your requests be made known unto God? There's more detail there. It's be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an active ingredient that God says to include in our prayers and supplications when we make our requests known to Him. So, do you think that's because God hates it when we go to him with all our needs and don't tell him how nice he is? No, he still wants to take care of us either way, but he's telling us that because it helps us in our believing when we remind ourselves of what God has done before for us. If I want to build trust in someone, like Aaron and I got married years ago, and we had to learn to trust each other at some point. Before we knew each other, we didn't trust each other because we didn't know each other at all. And then along the way, we had to build trust in each other, and that was an actively desired thing that we worked on. And it takes taking a chance on some, right? Like they tell you, I'll be there at 5 o'clock, and then at 5 o'clock, they either are or aren't there, and then you learn to trust what they said or not trust what they said. And if I'm like doubting whether Erin will be there at 5 o'clock, I can remind myself that every time that she said she'd be there, she was on time. And so now I don't have to doubt that anymore. And with God, he says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. When you've got something going on, take it to God and remind yourself and God of what he's done for you before. And then you'll have more confidence and it'll be easier for you to believe that he's going to do that again. Or whatever's needed in that situation, he'll do it that time. So many records in the Word are novel ways of God handling a problem. Like, there's an army that needs to be driven out. Maybe today, God uses bees to make them go away. Maybe tomorrow, he uses a noise to make them go away. Maybe the next day, he throws rocks from heaven at them and then drops a wall on them. These are all real records that you can read about of how God handled things. So it's up to God how he's going to do it. I don't have to say, thanks that you used bees last time and you'll do that again today. It's just thanks that you're so faithful in handling things like you did last time with the bees. I'm excited to see how you're going to do it today. Whatever my problem is, I take that to God and I thank him for what he did in the past as I'm taking my problem to God. Let's go one book to the right to Colossians. Philippians, Colossians. If you read through Colossians, it may be difficult to not notice how much thanks we're to give to God. Colossians is full of be thankful. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 6 and 7 here. Colossians 2, 6. Being thankful, right? Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The way that you learned about Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, walk like that, right? And then we get more detail here, more specific instruction. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, in order to exercise the power that we got, that we've learned about, concerning Jesus Christ, thanksgiving is an active ingredient in that. Being thankful, right? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. The way to abound in what we've been taught, and to be established in the faith, and to be rooted and built up in Christ Jesus our Lord, is with thanksgiving. Don't neglect being thankful and actively remembering what God has done and thanking him for that. And that will help you in your believing and your confidence to walk out in the future. I don't know the specifics of what God's going to do for me in the future, but I do know specifics of what he's done for me in the past, and I can read specifics of what he's done for other people in the past. So God says, take those things, hold them in your mind when you're asking him for the next thing, and that will build your confidence. I don't think this is like hard to process, right? This is pretty logical, simple stuff, but it's in here. It's in the Word. Chapter 3, Colossians 3. We'll read verse 12, but I'll just read you verse 1 for the context here. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, if or since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So the context is seeking the things of God, not being so caught up with what's going on in the world, but seeking godly things, seeking the things in the Word and things of God. So verse 12 here says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, we've been chosen by God, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, put on kindness, put on humbleness of mind, put on meekness, put on long-suffering. And we're to do all those things, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. So being really loving to people, being really long-suffering, you know, being willing to go out of our way to take care of people, being meek to each other, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Put on the love of God in the renewed mind, in manifestation. Be loving to other people. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. An active ingredient in letting the peace of God rule in your hearts is being thankful, remembering what God has done. Who can tell me Isaiah 26:3?
That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because he trusted in me.
God keeps the person whose mind is stayed on him in perfect peace. God makes the peace. You don't make peace. God makes that peace. God does the keeping of the peace. But you decide to keep your mind on God. And one or the way to keep your mind on God is remembering what he's done, thinking about him, and deliberately, actively being thankful for what he did for you, what he's done for others, what he wrote in his word. And I'll say the promises that he's made, which maybe I haven't seen the fulfillment of yet, right? If he says he meets my needs, then that works tomorrow too. So I don't know exactly what that entails tomorrow, but I know he promised that already. So it's a future thing, but I can thank him because he made the promise already, right? So it used to kind of trouble me when I'd hear people say, like, thanks God for healing my leg, even though I still see the cast on their leg. I'm like, it didn't, like, your leg is still broken. Why are you thanking God for something he hasn't done yet? But he promised healing. And that person is claiming that healing and thanking God that he already promised it. So even though it's a future thing, if God said it, then it's as good as already done. So they're just expecting that it will be done, but God already promised it. So they're thanking him for the promise that he made. So we can thank God for future things too, because we are claiming the promise. But this is talking about blah, 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 with and be thankful, right? So that's how we are to be applying all these things, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. All of that involves being thankful. Being thankful helps those things go a long way. It's difficult to be loving without being thankful. It's easy to, like, determine, like, ah, that person really got on my nerves, but I'm gonna smile and love them anyway. But it's hard to really make that real to yourself and, like, genuinely love them without getting tired, right? But if you are actively thankful and you're deciding, you know what? God did so much for me, and even if this thing that person did bothered me, I'm still thankful for how I'm still here, right? God still blesses me every day, and they're a brother in Christ that I can help, and I can encourage them, so I'm going to do that for them. So you work with your mind, and you just say, you know what? I'm going to find something to be thankful about here, and that helps you get that endurance in order to continue loving people, to be long-suffering. What else? Oh, 16, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, be happy, sing some songs. And then verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So whatever it is that you do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ and give thanks to God. Don't mind the ice maker, but whatever it is that you're doing. And this verse used to kind of trip me up before. I used to think, like, what, when I go to work, I'm supposed to do that in the name of Jesus Christ? When I'm eating my food, I'm supposed to do that in the name of Jesus Christ? Like, when I'm flipping someone off on the road, I'm supposed to do that in the name of Jesus Christ? But what God's saying here is everything that you're doing, maintain a mentality of, I represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can do what I do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone sees me, I can decide that they get to have a taste of what Jesus Christ was like. They can experience the spirit of Christ that's in me if I'm walking in the renewed mind and putting on the mind of Christ. Then whatever I do will be representing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said to his followers at one point, they go, show us the Father and it will suffice us. Like, we'll be satisfied if you show us what God looks like. And he goes, how long have you been with me and you don't know what God is like? He wasn't saying, I am God, but he was saying, you get to know God if you get to know me. I behave the way God would have someone to behave. And you get to know what God is like if you get to know what I'm like. And if we maintain that mentality too, and we're thankful, then we'll see the results in our lives. We'll carry that out, and that'll give us the endurance to keep going, is giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Being thankful that you can even do any of this, right? Then that'll help you to keep going. Everything you say and do should be done with giving thanks to God. So let's go to chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. When you're praying, I think I already mentioned this, but when you're praying, you actively, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. Watch in prayer. So we have a need. We pray to God. We go, God, here's my need. I'm asking you to take care of it, right? And then you watch. You continue to watch for how God's going to meet that need, what he's going to do. Did that need get met today? I've had so many times when I pray to God for something, I'm like, can you just whatever, handle this thing? Sometimes I'm vague. Sometimes I'm very specific. And then I just, like, forget that I even prayed for that. And then God handles the thing. And then I'm not even, like, thinking about it anymore to even thank him. But God says, remember what you prayed for. And then be thankful. And being thankful before you see the result, and then after you see the result. Aaron and I sat down at dinner one time when we were on our vacation last week, and I just prayed, like, this silly little prayer, and then minutes later, it got fulfilled. And I just shared it with her. I was like, I didn't even like fully know what I was asking for, but I saw this problem and I just wanted it to be taken care of. And then God just like handled it like that. But I barely even had the confidence that like anything could be done about it. But I was like, please just like do something about this. I don't know. And then it just got handled. And I deliberately made myself remember that I asked for that and that God took care of it. And then I shared it with someone. And actually, this whole vacation that we went on, early on, Aaron goes, hey, why don't we try this thing where if we ever have like a complaint, or even a lot of times I make observations that sound like complaints. I'm like, you see the way this is designed? You see how dumb that is? And it sounds like a complaint, but I'm really just observing. I'm like, this could be better or whatever. But maybe it's a complaint. Anyway, she goes, anytime we have like an observation or a complaint, maybe we could also express something that we're thankful for. And it doesn't have to be exactly matched with the thing you're complaining about, but at the same time, also be thankful. And it really helped us. It helped us to enjoy our time so much more. I think our trip really benefited from practicing that, putting it into practice, challenging each other to actively be thankful. And it also helped me to cut down on complaining and observing. Not that I don't observe things, but like, why do I have to drag someone else down with the thing that bothers me? Like, I would think about something, I'd be like, I don't need to mention this, and then just let it go. And it really helped me. That I'm not saying that's what everyone needs to do, but it's a helpful thing. It helped me. And I think it really helped us to enjoy our time, right? Would you say so? So we were deliberately, consciously thankful. Let's go to Psalm 111, the 111th Psalm. Psalm 111. This is a good one. Psalm 111, from the top. Praise ye the Lord. Praise inherently involves giving thanks, right? You're talking about how good God is. I can't see how you can do that without being thankful. But it says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. God did wonderful things, and he deliberately did them in a way that we could remember them. He made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Verse 6. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So we can actively praise God and thank God for what he did. And his works, it says, are to be remembered. We should actively, deliberately remember what God did and be, and remember how God is gracious and full of compassion. Let's go to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, while we're in the neighborhood. We'll read this whole psalm too, I think, right? Sure. Psalm 116. You guys like psalms?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Someone saying, I love that God listens to me. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Since God is listening to me, I'll talk to him. The sorrows of death compassed me about, and pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Things were pretty dark, right? Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. This person cried out to God and then is remembering that God is good, remembering things that God has done. God's gracious. He's righteous. He's merciful. These are qualities of God that we can be thankful for, right? Why call out to God if he's not going to be gracious and merciful and righteous? The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Remembering the past, right? Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? How can I possibly pay God back for how good he's been to me? This person is continuing to be thankful, continuing to remember things that God has done. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. How can I pay God back for what he's done to me? Thank him. That's how. And I'll thank him in front of other people. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious or costly in the sight of God is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. God is much more concerned with hearing what we have to say and hearing us praise him and thank him than he is with us, like, paying him money or doing things like making the coffee for fellowship. Yeah, that blesses people, but if it's not done with a heart of, like, love and thankfulness, then it's not going to go as far. But we don't go, God, I know you did so much for me, so I'm raking a bunch of leaves for you, or I'm pouring a bunch of coffee for you. That's not what God wants from us. I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm saying what's more important to God is that we have fellowship with him, that we thank him, that we talk to him, that we remember what he did for us, that we praise him for those things, and proclaim it to others too. I mean, how much does it bless you to hear how God did something cool for someone else? That should be encouraging to us. So be that person to share what God has done for you. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'll take time out of my day to thank you for what you've done. That's a sacrifice that God wants to hear from us. And will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Being thankful to God is what God wants from us, and it goes a long way, and there's power in that. It helps us to believe God as we remember deliberately what he's done, and we thank him for those things, and it helps us to build our expectation for what he's going to do. We can go to Ephesians 5. Back near where Colossians was, you'll find Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. My Bible didn't come with, like, tabs. You see how Aaron's Bible has these, like, cutouts? Mine didn't come with those, but I got these stickers that mark out where they are. But I didn't put every single sticker in for every single book, because I don't know. There's a lot of stickers, but I put in the commonly used ones. So, Ephesians 5, and we'll go to verse 4. Ephesians 5, 4. That's three F's in a row. 5:4. Okay, so this is talking about, like, things not to talk about, if you read from, like, verse 3. But verse 4 says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Instead of these nasty things that you could be talking about, to give thanks. Actively speak about things that God has done and what you're thankful for and why, and share that with other people. Promote those things. Those are the things that are going to encourage people. You know, if you say, I'm so thankful that God helped me find this thing that was lost. Well, won't that help someone more when they lose something and they're looking for it and they're remembering, like, well, God helped Joshua find that thing that he lost. Why wouldn't he help me? Wouldn't that go farther than, like, well, I can't believe I lost that stupid thing, right? Then, like, how's that going to help somebody if they're hearing you grumble about that? Or, in this case, filthiness and foolish talking and jesting. You know, if someone's teasing me all the time, that's not going to help me as much as if someone is telling me how thankful they are, not even for me, but just thankful they are to God and what God has done for them. So we can encourage other people when we are actively thankful and speaking. In Ephesians, I think chapter 4, it says to speak the truth in love. So we can do that instead of grumbling and griping all the time. And Aaron helped challenge me with that, and it helped me. So it can help you too. Yeah, if you're going to talk about anything, be thankful. Go to 1 Timothy. This is a good one. This is one that I ask myself, do I do that? And the answer is, I can do it more. So, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy. This one is tricky. I've heard people, believers that I trust and look up to and have been around for a long time, like, even struggle with this one. And I'm not saying that, like, disparagingly, but, like, we can get good at this, is the encouragement. 1 Timothy 2. Verse 1 says, I exhort, therefore, I encourage you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, that's specific requests. We saw this word earlier. Supplications means specific things that you need, that you're asking God for. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, that means like going to God on behalf of somebody else, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then it lists specific men to pray for, but it says all men. Then it says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Did you ever notice that it says, giving of thanks be made for all men? Do I thank God for every person? I can, that's something that I can grow in, to be honest. But the word says to. So even when I see people that, like, what I see them do just makes my blood boil, or like someone who merged into the lane that I'm in right now, and like, what are you doing? Like, all these, those are specific things that, like, bother me, is like driving stuff, but whatever. Whatever it is, do I thank God for that person's life? Because God says I should. God tells me to. So I can change my mind and actually be thankful. And that's like weird and counterintuitive and like not really logical the way that I would normally think about things, but it's what God says to do. Or videos that I see, I've helped myself by not getting into this so much anymore, but I used to watch a bunch of these like police body cam videos, and it's like police like abusing their authority and like whatever, all kinds of stuff that just like probably isn't a good representation of what's normally happening, but it's like all the exceptions and whatever. I don't need to get into all the details of stuff, but like, it used to be hard for me to not watch that stuff, because I'm like, yeah, that sucks, he's so wrong and whatever. But just learning, like, I don't need to be putting that stuff in my brain if I don't have to be. And then when I see stuff in real life, I can actively be changing my mind to be like, find something to be thankful for and not focus on all the things that are wrong in the world. I'll ask you, like, is there enough stuff that's wrong in the world that you could spend your whole life thinking about only those things? I'd say there is. Like, there's so much. Just think about, like, all the content that gets uploaded to YouTube every day, or, like, all the video content is more than 24 hours worth of content, right? And, like, TikTok and Instagram and all this stuff. So even if you started right now, you'll never catch up to watch everything that's available to watch. So there's so much stuff that's available, and you could spend your whole life just focused on stuff that's negative and like bothers you and like gets your heart rate up and really like hurts you. But you could not focus on that stuff and find as many reasons to be thankful and focus on God's word and find reasons to thank God for things and be thankful for all men. So which life would you rather live? And it's up to you where that balance is. But my encouragement is, move the balance toward being thankful and having an outlook of how God's going to help in this situation, no matter what has gone on before. And you're not saying those things don't exist. You're just saying, why would I dwell on all those negative things if they don't help me? That doesn't mean don't be wise. That doesn't mean don't be circumspect. The word says to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. I'm not saying just pretend that bad things don't exist, but why focus on those things and really like put your attention into those things? When you see something bad, find something to be thankful for. Deliberately remind yourself that God can handle situations. God's done stuff in the past. I'm thankful for what he's done. I'm thankful for what I have. What else? Oh, 1 Corinthians. So back it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a good one. I've heard people make the argument, like, with all the things that are going on, how can you be thankful? Like, how can you possibly be thankful? Don't you see what's happening? Like, don't you see so-and-so who's in charge of such-and-such right now and what they're doing? Like, how can you be thankful? How can you ignore the atrocities that are happening in the world? And here's what I have to say to that. And I don't normally answer people who are like promoting that way of thinking, because if they want to believe the word, they will. And if they refuse to, like, I'm not going to change their mind. But I stand on God's word in my own life, at least I endeavor to. So maybe I don't respond to someone, but I still remind myself of what the word says when I'm encountering someone who's doubting the word or promoting something the word says not to do. Does that make sense? Did I just pack a bunch of words together and dump it up? Okay, so when confronted with reasons not to believe God, here's something that God says that you can remind yourself of, at least. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. It says here, excuse me, verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren. Look around, right? Sorry if this is insulting to any of us, but you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise after the flesh, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Is Dwayne the Rock Johnson someone who goes to our fellowship? I can't speak to like his religious affiliation. I don't know. But like, not many mighty are called. Like, it's not a bunch of WWE bodybuilder dudes that are called. It's how many presidents do you know who like speak in tongues? I've never heard of one. Again, I'm not commenting on people's religious affiliations. I don't really know. But like, not many mighty are called, not many noble are called. It's regular people like us that are coming to fellowship. But, verse 27, here you go. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. The people who are strong in their own wealth and their own logical way of thinking and the world's wisdom will just be bewildered by how you're able to succeed and cut through the BS when you're thankful, when you're believing God. It's going to confound people who are used to doing things the world's way and succeeding that way. God just cuts through all that crap. God hath chosen the foolishness, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. God, there's a verse in Romans that talks about how God says that God calls things that be not as though they were. He speaks of the future with certainty because he knows what's going to happen and he knows what he can do. And God brings to nothing things that exist with things that don't even exist yet, which is kind of fun. But God is just, compared to the world, God is backwards. But really, the world is backwards compared to God. And it's encouraging to know that God takes things that the world considers weak and the world considers to be foolish and just turns things upside down and gets a lot done with things that don't look like they can do that much. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I don't go, God, check me out, how good I am. We go, God is really good. The way I'm able to accomplish any of this is because of God. Jesus Christ said, of myself, I can do nothing. I can't do anything without God. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. We are of God because of Christ Jesus. When we are in Christ, when we're remembering what the word says, when we're being thankful, Jesus Christ is of God, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Those things are ours because of what Jesus Christ did. Did I accomplish those things for myself? No, it's not by my own strength. It's not by my own wisdom, but Jesus Christ accomplished wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption for me. Verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So it's not up to me to remember like, oh, I've been in this situation before. I can personally handle it again. I know exactly what to do. It's not about that. God says, don't worry about what seems strong in the world, what seems mighty in the world. I chose foolishness, foolish things and weak things in the world to confound the things which are mighty, to confound those who are wise. So he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I get to actively be thankful for what God did for me and what he's going to do for me and glory in that. And it's not, yeah, that's right, I accomplished all this stuff because I'm so good. It's, my God is really good, so I can have confidence in that and I can rest easy at night and I can be deliberately and actively thankful for what God has done, remembering what he's done for me in the past and what he'll do for me in the future. Being thankful is believing action. Have you ever wondered to yourself, like, I wish I could, like, believe God more? Has that ever been, like, a desire for anyone? It has for me. I'm like, what can I do to, like, actively believe God more? And being thankful is one way to do that. That's, God says to be thankful, so think of things that God has done for you, remember, and then tell him. And tell other people how thankful you are for God. And that's believing God. If you want to meet a believer, meet someone who's actively thankful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter 14. This is fun. God gives us another cool way to be thankful. This is a supernatural way to be thankful. So not only can you be thankful with your conscious thinking, with your understanding, as God calls it, but you can also be thankful spiritually, which is really cool. And after fellowship, you can ask me how this works and all the details of it, and I won't tell you because I don't know. But I know God says to do it, so he says it works. It must work. You ever think about the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? This certainly applies here. And I'm not belittling what God did. I'm saying it seems so weird, but it works. Isn't that amazing? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16. He's talking about speaking in tongues. That's the context here. He says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, that's speaking in tongues, if you're going to bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? What's being talked about here is every believer is instructed to speak in tongues. And God was correcting a malpractice in the church at the time where people would get together and they would just, we started the meeting, I prayed, we sang some songs, people prayed with their understanding out loud in English, and that helped us all to, like, believe for the thing that the person was praying for. And then we had some people speak in tongues and interpret, right? So they spoke in tongues, I didn't understand what they were saying, and then they interpreted, and then I understood what was being said. But in this church, what was being addressed was that people would speak in tongues and then say amen. And everyone was like, what are you, like, what was just said? I don't know what you're saying. Like, if someone just spoke to me in Russian and then said, like, amen, I'd be like, I don't know that you even just prayed right now. Like, I don't, that doesn't help me at all. And so the instruction was, don't do that. If you're going to speak in tongues in the church, it should always be interpreted. Believe to interpret. But what we get from this verse is that, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, amen, at thy giving of thanks? Speaking in tongues, when you're just speaking in tongues in your private prayer life, God refers to that as giving thanks to God. And verse 17 expounds on that. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. People who hear you speak in tongues don't get benefited because they don't understand what you're talking about. But if you speak in tongues and interpret it, then it's a message that encourages you. But verily thou givest thanks well. Do you want to give thanks well? Give thanks with your understanding and also speak in tongues. And both of those, give thanks to God. And you're communing with God. You're encouraging yourself. When you give thanks with your understanding, you are reminding your brain of what God has done and what he will do for you in the future and encouraging yourself. When you speak in tongues, you are building up your spirit. And God says that part of that is giving thanks well. So I can't tell you what it is that you're saying because that's speaking in tongues. But somehow it's giving thanks well. That's what God says it is. So we can remember that when we speak in tongues, we're giving thanks well to God. So in conclusion, being thankful is part of believing God. There's no simpler way to get your mind right, to think soberly and think sound thoughts than to be thankful. And it's super easy. There's the whole spectrum of thoughts that you could think. You could think terrible, discouraging thoughts. You could think really encouraging thoughts. And it's up to you where you lead each thought. And you can decide to remember good things and things that God has done in the past and encourage yourself to things that he's going to do for you in the future. In everything, give thanks.